Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Okay. So today's a big day. 4 o'clock, Gleyber Torres has to tell the Tigers is he going to take the one-year qualifying offer. The one-year qualifying offer for the free agent is $22.025 million. He can accept it or decline it. If he declines it, he can return to Detroit, and assuming he would want a longer-term contract. But he could also sign somewhere else. It feels kind of unlikely he'll accept this, but it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Torres?
Yeah.
I feel like, it all comes down to he's going to get a multi-year offer from somebody else. The Tigers aren't going to give him a multi-year offer because the Tigers have too many players that they want to bring up.
Yep.
I think secretly the Tigers might be hoping that he gets an offer somewhere else so it clears up that roster spot because it's a $22 million savings. Because not only are you not having to pay Gleyber Torres the $22 million, but the player you're bringing up is someone who hasn't played in the majors yet. So their salary is less than $1 million. So you win on both fronts there. You get to promote somebody that you were dying to see, and you don't have to pay him. But will Gleyber Torres get a 3 or 4 year deal? I've heard that he's. There was one report that he wanted a 3 year deal. One report he wants a 4 year deal. Obviously, would pay him less than $20 million a year, but it's that security of having a 3 year, $45 million, 3 year, $50 million contract, whatever it would be.
The other thing is the 40-man roster, they have decisions to make because if you are exposed to the 40-man roster, there's rules that if you're in the minors for a certain period of time, 4 or 5 years, it depends where you were taken, or 3 or 4 years, it's somewhat complicated. But if you're stuck in the minors, you are eligible for something called the Rule 5 draft, which is after a certain amount of time, any team can take you off your minor league rosters. But they have to keep you at the major league level. What this does is it prevents a player from being stuck behind a superstar. So, for example, if you were a great first baseman in the Tigers organization during the Miguel Cabrera era and you were never going to get a shot and you were stuck in the minors, other teams could take you if you were major league ready and put you in their major league roster. It's actually a cool little trigger if you're a player to get a shot, mm-hmm. but a player can't be taken if they're on their 40-man roster.
Correct.
And who are the Tigers now that have to be put on the 40-man roster?
Well, because they don't have...
Because they're not going to lose them.
Right, because their 40-man roster is set, it's at 40 right now, so they would have to drop some players from the roster to add a player like a Hau-Yu Lee or a Tyron Lorenzo. These are players that are eligible for Rule 5 unless they're put on the 40-man roster. There's a pitcher, starting pitcher Jake Miller, who's also on that list. And there are players. I think Roberto Campos is another one of these players. You know, we've talked about forever, a million years, because he's, you know, was signed as a 16-year-old or 17-year-old. But he's on that list. There's a lot of players that are really intriguing that have been in the minors for a while. That I think Trey Cruz is another one.
Well, according to Lynn Henning,
make their minds up.
Did you see his tweet today?
I did not.
Eduardo Valencia, expect the Tigers to easily add Eduardo Valencia as well as Jake Miller, RJ Pettit. RJ Pettit is that big lumberjack with the mustache that we loved out of Sacred Heart or whatever a few years ago. Remember, we saw his picture and we're like, look at this. Look at this cowboy. And he's been a very effective minor league pitcher. Anyway, Eduardo Valencia, Jake Miller, RJ Pettit, and probably Trey Cruz. Also, most would agree the Tigers will be, of course, adding Tyron Lorenzo and Howie Lee to the 40-man.
So Valencia is interesting because he has done nothing but hit. He's a catching prospect and he catcher first base type guy who has hit at AA and AAA and hit tremendously. And one of these guys that you wonder, if is he going to get a break with the Tigers or not? And obviously the Tigers really like Dylan Dingler. He's not going anywhere. But Jake Rogers, what about Jake Rogers? Is he going to still be the backup catcher for this team, or does Valencia get a chance? Or do you keep Jake Rogers and Valencia, obviously, if you're promoting him to the 40-man roster? But does he start the year at AAA, and you'll see what happens? I don't know. But there's a lot of interesting players that you have to make decisions on. Most of them are pitchers. Because there's a ton of pitchers on the 40-man roster. That's the easiest way to trim up those players. The other way is through trades. You know, you create space by trading other players, and it's quite possible we could see the Tigers being active in the trade market.
The way Lynn Henning words this, it feels like what he expects, that Andy Ibañez and Matt Vierling will not be on the 40-man roster. Maybe Jason Foley.
Interesting.
Yeah, but... the way he worded that, the way I interpret it. Jeff Passan of ESPN has some reporting today that includes the Tigers.
Okay.
He's kind of rumblings here that what he's hearing. The Red Sox love Alex Bregman, who opted out of the final 2 years of his $80 million contract and won't close the door on a reunion despite having Marcelo Mayer ready to play third. Detroit and Chicago, who pursued him last winter but came up short, will rejoin the fray with Philly lurking as it juggles potential paths. Here we go again, huh?
Yeah, and I think they should be involved in it. I think Alex Bregman's a hell of a player. You really loved him last year. Gave him a huge offer. He turned you down to take a shorter term, bigger annual money per year than what the Tigers offered, but also got him out of it after a year. He got his $40 million. He wanted the $30 million average. So if you come at him with a six-year and $60 million, $160 million contract, something like that, it gets him close to that $30 million a year contract status. But do you want to give him 6 years?
Well,
that's a question. You're in the same position you were last year. He's still a really good player, and I like him a lot, but you'd have to understand that the last couple of years of that contract are probably going to be bad years, just like any big contract would be for a player that is in their 30s.
And Jeff Passan wrote a bunch on Scooble. Here's what he wrote. There is no consensus throughout the industry. Some are convinced the Tigers will move the back-to-back Cy Young Award winner because, as one person said, quote, they have to. The chasm between the parties is wide, though in reality not anywhere close to the $250 million figure that some have said.
I always thought that was a crappy
You and I both thought it was.
Yeah.
He goes on to write, ultimately, the Tigers president of baseball ops, Scott Harris, what he decides to do will be dictated by others. If another team so thoroughly blows away Harris with a package of players that can join the Tigers' next generation core, and they list the core, that those prospects or an even greater chance of winning in 28 and 29 or 2030, it just might be too tempting to turn down. Only a handful of teams have the prospect depth and urgency to pull off such a deal. And he lists the Dodgers, the Mets, the Red Sox, the Orioles, the Yankees. Then he writes, the Mariners have the players, but not the desire. Even if Scooble went to the University of Seattle. And then he concludes, in the end, the Tigers' decision will be informed by the markets that surrounds it. If teams can upgrade with a player who is 75% of Scooble at 50% of the price, they will. Until that is no longer an option, teams simply won't bend over backwards to overpay, regardless of how appetizing a rotation helmed by ace of all aces would be. Anyway, they got plenty of other options. So when teams start to get disappointed in who they don't sign in free agency, they might turn to the Tigers and Scooble. So we're going to have to wait it out, is what Passan's predicting.
Well, it's there are lots of really high-quality starting pitching available in free agency, and I hope the Tigers are interested in the high-quality starting pitching in free agency as well. And you've also got the Scooble chip to play.
Here's what I like.
It's really tough to see what they're going to do with that chip and unless you know what the offers are.
Look at the teams that might want Scooble.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they happen to be after a free agent pitcher that you also want, you go out, bid them for that free agent pitcher so that you have the Scooble replacement, who's not going to be as good as Scooble, understood, right. But might be he put it 75% of the player for 50% of the price. And then say to that team, of course you could trade for Scooble. You could give us your firstborn, your right. Son, the moon, and the, a Range Rover, and let's go.
And a Range Rover?
Yeah.
But the biggest problem with that is that everybody knows that Scott Boras is his agent, and Scott Boras is looking for him to hit it for agency and not likely to sign any extension.
Yeah, I know. I can only hope that the pending CBA
cranks up the urgency for
even Scott Boras to say, we're not going to take this to the last minute.
And Scott Boras is, and I wasn't on the air last week with you when his quotes were coming out.
Dude, I got
totally
so mad.
Weird.
I said if that were my agent, I'd be like, dude, what are you doing?
It's just strange stuff coming out of his mouth, not just about Scooble, but about every other high valued free agent out there. There was some, I think,
Limerick King, Dr. Seuss.
USA MF-er. Today had the article. I'm like, what am I reading here? That's just crazy talk. But will he even listen to an offer from the Tigers? And it sounds like that they will, but they're almost like, okay, go ahead, but don't expect us to get excited about it. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
All right. More of your phone calls and feedback straight ahead. It is.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Jared Goff, 12:30, hear what he had to say about what's next for the Lions. It's Carson Anderson on 97.1. So, big news if you're just joining us. Fortunately, Sam LaPorta, it sounds like he's done for the year. A procedure on his back. And Dan Campbell said it's awfully unlikely he returns. We'll go out to the Birchie Kid at 1:15 who is covering this story and all the latest on the Lions. But that is the big news of the day, and that sucks. That sucks. So time to get creative. John Morton, he said yesterday to the media he loves problem solving. He said that's the fun part. Well, this is a problem that they're going to need to solve because this is a major weapon in the pass game. So, all right, Tarek Skubal. He went on the MLB Network, Filed Territory show, and talked about all the rumors and all the reporting about him, the trade rumors, the contract talks, etc. And here's what he had to say. So what does that mean? Does it mean that the whole, all the reporting about how far apart they are, implication that it's not accurate?
I think he was saying there was a couple of different things out there. One is that that's part of it, the numbers. I don't know where that comes at. And then the part that bothered me a little bit was when he starts talking about, I don't know where these rumors come about. Well, it's not necessarily rumors. It's people putting themselves in the shoes of the GM. What are they going to do with Tarek Skubal? Because it seems like your agent is hell-bent on getting you to free agency. And so it's kind of like put things together. If there's hell-bent on getting to free agency and you're a free agent at the end of the season, what do you do? Do you hang on to him, make a run at the World Series? Do you trade him now? Do you trade him at the trade deadline? Do you try to sign him to a long-term contract extension? Which doesn't seem likely because go back to the first point that your agent wants you to get the free agency. So that's where that part comes from. I don't want Tarek Skubal to be tone deaf about what's going on or pretend to be tone deaf.
I don't think he sounded like, to be clear, I don't think he sounded angry or mad.
He didn't sound angry or mad at all. I'm the one who's maybe sounding angry or mad because I saw the longer cut of the interview, and it just rubs me the wrong way when a player comes out and says, "Hey, that's that I don't have any control over that." Yes, you do.
You have some control.
You have control over anything that comes with your career.
He's ceded control. In this case, though, he has ceded control. He could come out publicly and change narratives, but and I understand why he does this, and I understand why people do it.
I do too.
He's trying to distance himself from this and just let his agent do his job and get the best deal for him, and then eventually he will make. I mean, it's not like he has no control.
Well, that's the thing.
He eventually has to make a decision.
It's disingenuous when you say something like that because you obviously have control. You've told your agent what you want, or you've agreed with your agent how it's going to be handled.
All right, here's more on trade rumors. What he hears when his name comes up in trade rumors.
So that was the first part there that I'd heard this whole long cut, and that's why I was a little.
What I take out of that is, again, here he is publicly saying, quote, "It's not like I want to be traded."
Well, no, I can't imagine you want to be traded, but you have to understand why these reports are out there. Because this is what the Tigers have to think about, because your agent is seemingly unwilling to talk about a reasonable contract extension.
So I guess the question is between how much, speaking publicly about how much he loves Detroit, this comment, it's not like I want to be traded. My whole thing with this is he just preparing us for a letdown because he doesn't want to be the bad guy, or is this sincere? Like, I really love Detroit and I really don't want to get traded. What do you think?
I think the first part is true. I think he really loves Detroit. I think he loves his teammates. I think he loves the manager. I think the pitching coach. I think that situation. I mean, the fact he's won back-to-back Cy Young Awards with this team. It's a winning team. And if this team wants to keep on winning, that path is easiest if Tarek Skubal is part of it. But Tarek Skubal has to be the one that says, okay, I want to be part of this and let's move forward. And he has not said that. You know, it's an easy way to go to get negotiations going. If you want to put pressure on the Tigers, come out publicly and say, I want to sign with the Tigers. Say it. But also say, but I'm not going to sit there and just give away my free agent years. You got to make it worth my while. I want to be here. I want to be part of this. But I'm not just going to give you the hometown discount and say, sure, I'll sign for $30 million a year. Uh-uh. I understand what I'm worth on the free agent market. And you guys do too. But let's work something out. But we're not hearing that yet. It might happen. Maybe he gets vocal about that at some point. But it seems like the Tigers are kind of, based on what we're reading, what we're seeing from the national media, that they're really kind of up against it here. They have to make up their minds of what's going to happen. They're open to trade talks. They're going to listen to offers from teams. Everybody's coming out with their list. Hey, here are five teams that might want to acquire Tarik Skubal, and where'd best fit be, and who should the Tigers ask for, and all this. I think if I would have to imagine what Scott Harris really wants to do is sign Tarik Skubal. But he might not be able to because of Scott Boras, Skubal's agent.
248-539-9797, Nathan and Warren. What's up, Nathan?
Hey, guys. I'm going to say some words that you're not going to like. You're going to have to deal with that. if you look at the list of Cy Young winners, when they're done winning their Cy Young, when they've come off that run that they're on, they're not as good as they were. And Skubal, having won the last two Cy Youngs, I think that his run of being the most dominant pitcher in the American League, is that window is closing rapidly. So are we going to sign him for $300-400 million and have a 36, 37-year-old guy that we now have this albatross of a contract? Or do we move him now when his value is at its highest, and we just supplement our team and hope for the best?
Nathan, it sounds to me like you want to move him now.
I do want to move him now. I'm sick of the drama of the whole thing. Like, we all know that Chris Illich does not have to return pop cans to pay for a baseball team. But he's socking away money, and he's...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Refusing to invest. So if that's the case, then just go ahead and trade him. Bring in a bunch of young kids and let's see if Scott Harris and, you know, whoever else and AJ can work with these guys and mold them into a winner.
Well, Nathan, I guess, you know, I think it probably stands to reason that when every pitcher comes to the end of their Cy Young run, they get worse. Kind of makes sense. You have cases like Roger Clemens who won a few in a row, then didn't win any and came back like 9 years later and won two more. But they're the exception.
How do that?
Like there's a peak that a lot of players go through, and he's at it right now. You're paying for, and if you sign him to a long-term contract, it's the same thing that happens with a lot of star players. You're signing him for production over the next few years, knowing you're going to have some bad years at the end of every contract.
I mean, if you're going to sign him long-term, you're hoping what he does is have a Clayton Kershaw career that is still an excellent pitcher long after he won his Cy Young Awards. That's what you're hoping for. Because up until 2 years ago, Clayton Kershaw was still an outstanding pitcher with an ERA in the mid-twos. He had an ERA in the low-twos when he was 34 years old. It's only the last couple of years with injuries that he's, you know, things have changed. But that's I understand where you're coming from, Nathan. It's hard to justify any kind of long-term contract because as players get older, they're typically going to get worse at some point. You're hoping that you can ride out the first 4 or 5 years of that contract where it's still not only productive but extraordinarily productive, and it's a big if.
And I'm definitely in the camp of let's do the Juan Soto, you know, trade him to a team that can pay him, and let's go ahead and, you know, just get some treasure trove of, you know, 3, 4, 5 good prospects, and hope to God that one of them or two of them turn into something, you know, something worthwhile. Because, you know, unfortunately, Scott Harris is he's put all his eggs in the basket of, you know, my 4 or 5 prospects are all going to hit the majors and they're all going to be good. And unfortunately, we all know that's just not the case.
Yeah, I think that the meetings between Scott Harris and Scott Boras have got to be fascinating, because not only it's dealing with the future of the Tigers, but how do you get the best future for the Tigers? Because Boras, if he wants his client to get to free agency, you have to have that tough conversation. Like, look, if we're going to trade him, we're looking to trade him. Where does he want to go where he can sign a long-term contract so we can get the most out of it? Why are you laughing?
His whole premise was, you know, when Scooble's not as good, he's not going to be as good.
Well, yes, but his point was he wants to get out of, in front of it.
It was, but like using history as saying, you know, when guys stop winning Cy Youngs, they aren't as good. Yeah. Of course. I mean, this might be the peak, and we know that, but
that's why he said what he said.
Yeah.
Get out in front of it. But again, if the Tigers can work with Scott Boras, and Scott Boras can work and say, okay, if you're going to trade him to this team, because we're going to sign a long-term contract with that team right away. I don't know if that'll ever happen.
97-1. Coming up today, at 1 o'clock, more opinions from inside the Lions facility. Is there anything amiss with Jared Goff and Amon-Ra St. Brown? A connection that has been as reliable as any in the NFL. Doesn't seem as reliable in this 2025 season. Do they see anything? Hear what they had to say today at 1 o'clock here on Carson Anderson on 97.1. Hey, if you're just joining us, the breaking news, unfortunately, is that Sam Laporta had a procedure on his back. And it would be a surprise if he plays again this year, which is unfortunate. It sucks. And now they're in the problem-solving phase. Birchie Kidd will tell you what's being said out of Allen Park today at 1:15 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1. In the meantime, we're talking about Tarek Skubal, the comments he made on MLB Network. As you know, he said he doesn't know where the numbers come from or the rumors come from, but there's not a lot of truth to a lot of it. He also said that he doesn't want to be traded. And did say some things are out of his hands, which you kind of take issue with, but it's more about he could, you know, have some control over it. He could exert some control over it.
But he's got a final say over anything that happens in his career.
Yeah, but this is what happens when you're in this portion. You remove yourself, and then you kind of, in theory, right? I'm sure this isn't what happened, but in theory, you can say, hey, they come to me when everything's final, and then I decide. I let him handle all the negotiation. I distance myself from it. It's why people hire agents and let the experts do it. And I can stay removed and then just make final decisions. But the final decision always does go to the player.
Just wish he had different representation.
Yeah, I mean, I get why people hire Scott Boras.
He gets his clients top dollars, and if that's what you want, that's the guy to get. You could probably get really good money with somebody else. It's not going to...
Of course. I lost it during the limerick last week. I thought, this is not cute. This is not funny. But whatever. You saw a report that the Tigers might be interested in an upgrade out of the bullpen.
Yeah, it was John Heyman had the report that the Tigers were among three teams at the time that are interested in Edwin Diaz, closer from the New York Mets. Yes, please.
Mm-hmm.
I would be all about this. But go ahead. It's an easy whatever. However, what is it going to cost? $20 million a year? $18 million a year? Yeah, get it done. You want a guy, swing and miss guy? There it is. You want a guy you can reliably throw out there either in the ninth inning as the closer or facing in the highest leverage situations late in the game in the eighth inning against the 1-2-3 hitters, the hard to lineup. Yep, that's the guy. It's unquestioned. That's the guy. You're not hoping that Will Vest gets the job done. You're not hoping that they can re-sign other players and they get the job done. This is a guy you know gets the job done.
Is this this Tommy Trumpet guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus you get that.
Do you remember who you saw was also, you said at the time, the way you just worded that, was this recent?
It was
recent?
Yesterday, yeah.
Okay. Do you know who the other two teams were?
I want to say the Mets were one, and I'm not sure it was Boston, the other one.
Well, I mean, I don't like our standing and getting in bidding wars with those teams, but that doesn't mean you can't win a bidding war with those teams. So, yeah, I mean, this would work.
Correct.
Are you looking up the teams?
Yeah, trying to find.
I mean, I'd like to hear it was Kansas City and Tampa that they were bidding against. But, yeah, talk about a strong move to solidify your bullpen and then repurpose some of the guys you have. Now, I guess A.J. Hinch, even if you have an Edwin Diaz, you're probably not going to use that guy 100% as a closer. You use him in the high leverage spots. But his save numbers, these are the last 4 years, 32, 32, 20, and 28. He had a 57 save career his last year in Seattle. His walks and hits per innings pitched the last 4 years, 105.84, 104.87. He talked about the strikeouts. He had 98 last year in 62 innings. The year before, 84 in 54 innings. The year before, 118 in 61 innings. A lot of swing and miss in that arm, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, he's really good.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be all about getting a back-end arm and getting a starting pitcher. I think that's a great way to go into free agency. You're bringing Torres back, or you're bringing Torres back as he accepted the qualifying offer. So that kind of, I think, might limit what they really want to do. But I wish they wouldn't. You know, their payroll is sitting at $155 million projected after all the increases to players are factored in. This is according to SpotTrack. That's including giving Tarek Skubal a $20 million raise for this upcoming season, his last year before free agency. So that's 155. That ranks, I believe, 17th among the projected payrolls in baseball prior to free agency getting underway. If you want to get into the top 10, you got to go north of like $195 million. You're not that far away. And I don't think it's too much to ask for the fan base to say, get your payroll up above $200 million. Mm-hmm. Spend another $50 million, another $75 million to get up there. People come out. People support this team, and particularly when if you're a winner, absolutely they do. So go do it.
248-539-9797. So we sit here with this news with Skubal. I'll tell you that, you know, he spoke with MLB Network and said he doesn't know where all the rumors came from. I'm looking at the feedback that I can see here. Most people think he's just trying to let Detroit down easy. Talk about how much you love it before you leave, and then. It's a common breakup theme. I hope it's sincere that he if the offers are anywhere close, I mean, you made the comment yesterday, if they make the same offer as a New York team, doesn't he stay here? And if he really, truly loves it, yeah. Yeah, so I hope these are very sincere feelings. That if they just get in the ballpark, I mean, at some point, do you have to be the highest bidder? Is there any chance a Boris client would take less than the most money?
I think there's always a chance because it ultimately comes down to what the player wants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe that's the negotiation is that you see, okay, hey, I Red Sox, let's just say, or let's say the Mets. Mets are willing to give him $400 million over the length of a contract. And that's what it's going to take, Tigers. And the Tigers are like, look, we can give you $375 million, no more, or $350 million, no more. And if they thought the Tigers could only go up to $300 million, then it gets up to $350, is that enough for them to say, yep, I'll go there? I mean, you don't know until you find out. The problem is, are you ever going to be able to find out? Is Boris going to lay out exactly what it is that he's expecting? He has to at some point. Otherwise, it's not even a negotiation. How high are the Tigers willing to go? I don't think, you know, Chris Illich has been pretty open that he's willing to spend money. And it seems like Scott Harris is really wanting to have Tarik Skubal part of this team for years to come.
That Jeff Passan report where he quoted an MLB executive yesterday that said that Scott Harris cannot be told he can't sign this guy, like he truly believes. I can't remember the exact wording,
right,
but Jeff Passan talked to 11 industry insiders who gave him unattributed quotes about the Skubal saga and how it's going to play itself out. And one MLB executive made the comment that Scott Harris fully believes he can sign this guy.
Yeah. Now, most people think that there's no way that they're going to sign him to a long-term deal.
Yep.
That's what most of the pundits out there are saying. And maybe that's the case. And that's why there's the talk of trade for Tarik Skubal, so he understands what it is that is leading to this kind of speculation. Because if nobody thinks you're going to sign a long-term contract, what are the options? Ride it out with you or trade and get something for you before you lose him for nothing?
So there's really three possibilities, right? And you just talked about them. And the one caller who's called on this said he wants him to trade him now. And you asked the question in the show sheet, what scenario would make you the happiest? Let's take 10 texts on this right now. Tiger fans, (248) 539-9797. Make sure you sign your text. It's the first 10 texts that come over. What scenario with Skubal makes you the happiest? 248-539-9797. There's a lot of different directions this could go. We're going to have an off season where they hold one of the biggest blue chips at the table. Do they play it themselves? Do they sell it off? What do they decide to do? What would make you the happiest as it pertains to Tarik Skubal? We'll take those 10 texts. We'll get to those coming up at the 1 o'clock hour, 102, right out of the gate. In the meantime, also next hour, Amon-Ra and Johnny Morton talk about whether or not there's something wrong with the Goff-Amon-Ra connection this year. Hear what they had to say in the 1 o'clock hour, and what are the Lions going to do without Laporta, the Birchie kid at 115 from Allen Park. Here on 97.1, The Ticket.
All right, let's get moving here. No fanfare, I just kind of want to get into it. We've got a Skubal expose. We've got a conversation that I think is interesting enough, and shout out Rieger for sparking it in the bullpen yesterday, but it's going to involve the Pistons and the Lions. I'll explain. We're going to talk about why Kenny thinks the Islanders are going to dump truck the Wings tonight, a shocking revelation. And then we will get into maybe the greatest reputational fall from grace in sports, which is Bill Belichick at a co-ed adult cheerleading competition. It's like pretend for people who can't let college go. It's like the Al Bundy Awards.
So what were they cheering for?
No one. It was an SNL skit. But we're going to talk about a lot. But let's get into Jeff Passan. We told you the rules with the Skubal thing. We're not going to do the baseless stuff. If something breaks, we'll talk about it. So what Passan has put out there is breaking down the Tigers' options with Skubal. Now, I do take some pride in the fact that no matter how much hate we have caught on this, we've been exactly right. here are your headline takeaways from this. You do what you want. We've talked about how we do not believe the Tigers will sign him to a $40 million a year thing because their payroll won't get to $200 million, and you can't have that type of money committed to one pitcher. Well, rival executives, including people with knowledge of Scott Harris's thought process, oh, they agree. Someone with knowledge, and I'll read it to you, but someone says, oh, no, Scott Harris is eyeing 2027 and 28.
Waiting for the kids.
Which means what we talked about this year, they're not trying. This is all gravy. But then you get into some of this other stuff, and it is a little bit jarring. I can't lie to you. So let me read some. If you want the complete piece, I do. I encourage you to go to ESPN.com, and maybe if you're dropping a grumpy later and you want to read an article, God bless, do your thing. I'll give you some of this, because I think reading entire articles on radio is straight out of 1997. Trade Skubal at the winter meetings is option one. Passan says this was the least popular option among the panel, and a rival executive explained why. The whole reason you do all this is to start a season with a potential contender that has an ace. You can't throw it away before the season starts.
Fair.
Now, the reason this is the least popular has more to do with something we've heard before. And they're saying it, Rico, without using this word, unreasonable. That the Tigers are not reasonable. Meaning, unless you knock them over with, in the words of Jeff Passan, a gobsmacking offer, they're not going to trade him. Well, that means you're not reasonable. Mm-hmm. So panelists hemmed and hawed about how much a team would have to overpay to just get Detroit to consider a trade. That's not reasonable. We've heard this before about Scott Harris. Okay, so the rest of that is just a lot of words to say what I just read you. Two, keep Skubal, but trade him at the deadline if the season doesn't go as planned. Basically, if it went sideways in the first half, everyone on the panel agreed this is your only move. Defining what going sideways means with expanded playoffs, difficult.
Especially in this division.
Right. You cannot, under any circumstances, hold Skubal through the trade deadline and miss the playoffs. That would be a catastrophe. That comes from an agent.
I would probably say in this division, if you're more than 10 games out, then maybe you wave the white flag.
Rico, my problem is you could be two games up and miss the playoffs. You could be two games out and miss the playoffs.
That's fair.
I don't think if you are anything other than a commanding position, as you have said, you put yourself where you'd have to gut the fan base. Imagine trying to trade Skubal and you're three games over 500. So that's option two. Opinions vary on whether Skubal would fetch more this winter or the deadline because it's hard to project how desperate contenders could hypothetically be. Safe to assume the return would be less at the deadline than this winter. We've talked about that. Then there's three. Keep Skubal no matter what. Extend him and take the draft pick if he leaves. This is Jeff Passan's words. Bold move in an era of asset value focused approach that so many are taking now. As Skubal walks in free agency, your comp pick is in the 30s the following summer. There is, it's valued at roughly $8 to $10 million of surplus value, meaning I draft this player here, I get $8 to $10 million of hypothetical value from that selection. There's more value that would come before that for Detroit, but you can't quantify it. They'd get another title run with the reigning back-to-back Cy Young winner and more time to convince him to stay. Maybe that combination would make magic for both sides, Passan writes. Harris will never believe he can't sign Skubal. That's from a rival executive who thinks Harris is focused on how to make it happen. But, Passan writes, he's rep by Boris. So there's a variable that's unique to the timing. It's what the dumbasses in the afternoon have talked about. The CBA is expiring December 1st of 2026. It's unlikely Boris wants Skubal to be on the market in a labor stoppage. So then the question just becomes, okay, the last time there was a stoppage, this is from Passan, we saw a frenzy of late November deals before the December 1st lockout. almost like a mini transfer portal. Mm-hmm. Okay. It would give Detroit a leg up in that scenario. The contract marks to beat Yamamoto's 325 was the most guaranteed money to a pitcher, and Max Fried's 218 was tops among all lefties ever. Both of those were landed by not Scott Boras. Worth noting, Scooble's arm injuries, we've talked about it. Are Harris and the Tigers likely to win a straight bidding war? No. But something else the dumbasses in the afternoon have talked about, a shorter deal at a record AAV with opt-outs. I've said it then, I'll say it now. You put five at 250 out there, multiple opt-out points. If they say no, they get vilified. No one would knock the Tigers. The real issue for Detroit is what the idiots in the afternoon have been talking about, the payroll.
Who are these idiots?
So $155 million competitive balance tax, right? They finished last season at $155. That's $90 million below the tax threshold, which just sits right under a quarter billion.
Right.
Blue Jays are just over that, if you wanted context. All right? If Scooble will be getting an AAV in the 30s or low 40s, can the Tigers justify a quarter of their payroll to one player? No, you can't.
Who only, plays once every 5 days.
Here's the comment that really bothered me. If McGonagall and Clark show up late in 26 and look like stars, that won't bump the payroll, but it could make the Tigers look more competitive moving forward and help a long-term case with Scooble. If things go well in 26, you contend and hold on to him. Another executive said the following. You could still trade Scooble and sign him back long-term, but I can't imagine a series of events where that would happen. Yeah, because it won't happen. Here's one last note. You do what you want with it. For those of you that want to keep Scooble.
Kind of like Jack Flaherty.
Yeah. Well, there's a reading of the tea leaves for this winter. Sources for Jeff Passan are saying Detroit is targeting pitching depth early in free agency. Is that a backfill for a Scooble trade? Question mark. A deal now or at the deadline? Question mark. Or just to create depth for a title run like many contenders do? Or are they creating leverage and depth so they have maximum optionality for the whole year? You can see whatever you want to see with this. He compares it to, an inkblot test. Look, I wanted to read it to you. There's some interesting quotes from agents, from rival executives. I think the things we take out of it, I'm going to use the term disturbing. That this 2028 or 27 time frame thing is still a thing. That's a waste of all of our time. While this team made the playoffs last year, you're essentially saying you didn't try. Mm-hmm. I mean, you
made it in spite of.
Well, yeah, and you told us you weren't trying by bringing in the corpses of Chris Paddock, Charlie Morton, and Paul Sewald. But the other angle to it is, it doesn't sound like there's anything happening. That a trade, they're unreasonable. The fact is, The conversation in the past in peace, Rico, is how much would I have to overpay? Not how much would I have to pay. Mm-hmm. How much would I have to overpay for the Tigers to at least engage in an internal conversation? Okay, so if they're unreasonable to dealing him and they're unwilling into signing him, then it would have to be the nuclear option.
Right, you keep him. Ride him till the wheels come off at the end of the year.
Pray the year goes right. See, here's your problem. You have seen both sides of this. Mm-hmm. You came back from 9.5 games out. You blew a 15.5 game lead. Mm-hmm. So if the last 2 years showed us anything, I can't say with any certainty you will or won't make the playoffs by the trade deadline.
Fair.
So if you decide the nuclear option's what we're doing, what happens if you keep them and miss the playoffs? That's a debacle.
But I think that's a debacle they're willing to risk. I think that's something that they're looking at doing because in their world, maybe the labor stoppage works to their advantage.
With the mini transfer portal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Maybe when the stoppage is over, maybe you won't see contracts the way you see them now.
But that's suggestive of a salary cap, which if that's the case, you will not have baseball for an entire year plus. It would be a nuclear winter. I just don't think the Players Association will cave. Not to a salary cap. I think you can manipulate it a number of ways. Look, I'd love to hear from you guys. I understand that that's a lot of words, and I'm sorry. But where do you sit when you when you're hearing things from Jeff Passan and people in the industry of baseball saying that 2028 is what Scott Harris cares about? To me, that should piss you off, to be honest. That the Tigers are seemingly unreasonable when it comes to a Scooble trade. When you have to use terms of how much would I have to overpay, they'd only consider a, quote, gobsmacking offer. Well, then you're not willing to trade the guy. Mm-hmm. So if you're not willing to trade him and you're not willing to sign him, even though you say you're going to try, yet what was the John Paul Morosi audio we had 2 days ago? There ain't nothing going on.
Yeah.
Where do you sit with Scooble when you hear the things you're hearing here? 248-539-9797. You tell me.
Because I think we're going to be hearing this throughout the entire year, Mike. Because you're in such a bad division, you're always going to be in the division. So I don't think you're going to see anything at the trade deadline. Either you're going to do it at the beginning of the season, or we ride this thing all the way out until the end, and you hope and you cross your fingers that they've done enough to get them into the playoffs again. And then you can justify keeping.
That's John Paul Morosi from a few days ago. We read you the Jeff Passan report. You could read the entire thing at ESPN.com. I couldn't do that to you. So it would take me 30 minutes to read it to you. And I'm not your Nona. And this isn't a bedtime story. The takeaways are the following. The Tigers seemingly are unreasonable in trade talks. Scott Harris is looking at 27 and 28, which should infuriate you because that means it legitimizes everything we talked about this year. They didn't try. And the other angle is, here are your outlays for what the Scooble situation looks like. What do you make of it? I'm not overreacting any which way. I mean, there's nothing for me to do. I know what I would do. I'm not telling you it's easy or amazing. I would trade him. But I'm also respectful and understanding of those who say, no, let's keep him and give it another run. That's fine, too. What I worry about is, okay, if you keep him, do you have the spinal cord to look in the mirror and say, this team isn't World Series good, and trade a midseason and deal with what comes with that? I've seen nothing from this organization to suggest they got that type of steel in their spine.
No.
Shout out Harbaugh.
No, this feels like we're going to gamble again. We've gambled the last 2 years. We've won. They feel like they have house money now. We'll take our chances. We'll see what happens, and we'll get to the playoffs. And then after that, we'll deal with the postseason fallout. But I don't think they're going to break this thing up. I don't think they're going to make a trade. I don't even – they would have to be a ridiculous amount of games out before they even trade him at the deadline. So I don't think it's going to happen. Now, Mike, this kind of seems as if they've already set it down. We're going to ride this. He's our guy, and he's under contract for one more season. We'll see what happens at the end of this next season. But we're not going to really make any grandiose gestures of trying to keep him here. And
Then what's the point? See, right off the rip, then what's the point? If you like him enough that you won't even engage in realistic trade talks, then pay the man. I mean, I'm just making a point. When John Paul Morosi says there's nothing, that means they haven't put a record-breaking AAV, mm-hmm. shorter term, multiple opt-outs.
Right.
Until or unless you do that, I can't take you serious.
Could it be? Hear me out.
Oh, God.
When he says hear me out, it's just, you know it's just going to piss me off. Go ahead. Let me hear it.
All right. Hey, David, how are you?
No, go ahead. Let me hear you out.
Could it just be that they're trying to be fiscally responsible?
Yep, there it is. Yep, right there. Right to the back of your head. We're done. I don't want to hear it. I want to win a World Series.
No.
Don't hear it. I heard you out.
Mike, I want to win a World Series, too, but we've said it. The article said it. Their World Series window opens in 2027.
Okay,
we're not
great.
In the window yet.
Cool, then shut the ballpark down. People are still spending their money.
Yes.
And by the way, your window could have been now. If you did a damn thing at the deadline.
Okay, first of all, we're on the same team. I'm thinking like the Tigers, and for the Tigers, these past two seasons, gravy. We didn't expect them. Fans loved him.
Yeah.
It looked like we actually gave a damn.
Oh, lined your pockets.
And
what?
And now we're going to wait because if they go on strike, we don't want to pay him while he's on strike.
Fine, then you trade him. You make the franchise better long term, right? If it's about long term, you move the guy.
It is. Or we just wait and see what happens.
Oh, good. I the John Jansen approach.
Yes.
Let's go to Mike, 97.1. Mike, what's going on?
Not much, guys. How are you?
Good, Mikey. What do you make of this passing report?
I'm frustrated, especially on the heels of, if you read, I think it was the Detroit News, they said the Tigers have been saying at earliest you'd see McGonagall would be August of this of 26 to preserve his rookie status and service time.
There you go, right here. Here's my response.
Yeah, and we just signed Gleyber Torres, so of course we can't have a $22 million guy sitting on a bench at second base. And, oh, by the way, Cole Keith's going to be healthy, so there goes your two options of playing McGonagall at either second or third. But the frustrating thing is, and you guys kind of stole it out of the words out of my mouth, is if the goal is 27, 28, then Scooble doesn't help you at that time because there's a low likelihood of him being on the roster.
Thank you. That's the whole premise, Mike, is if you have this player and the idea of trading him is too painful or you're so unreasonable to it and you think enough of this player that you would, direct quote from this, have to be gobsmacked by an offer, then you are put in a box of, okay, let's make a good faith offer on our terms. And if they turn that down, then we arrive at the last place, which is we're going to keep him and figure it out on the fly.
Right.
But there is no offer.
Right. And I believe there was an avenue last year after the magical run where you could have gotten a deal done with Scooble last winter, but you insulted the man by offering him $20 million off of Cy Young when he was your horse. Like, you can't go and lowball him that much and expect that there's going to be good faith negotiations.
Yeah.
No, not saying Boris is a saint, but I hope they add pitching depth because we need it. It was Scooble and nothing after that. But pitching depth may be bargain hunting again, which is not going to be fun.
No, and I mean, look, Mike, I have a lot of faith in Chris Fetter. You know, you can hand him chicken bleep and he'll make chicken salad most times. Mm-hmm. But it does get to a certain point. You need some quality. I mean, all those acquisitions, he couldn't fix Kenta Maeda. Alex Cobb, how could I say he fixed him? Alex Cobb never got out of the grave. And then all the guys you dealt for at the deadline, please. Hey, not Jesus couldn't fix Charlie Morton. So, yeah, I mean, you do get to a point, you go, what are we doing here exactly? And as Rico put it, guys, don't take offense to it. It's a statement of reality. You're in a garbage division with a bunch of welfare owners. I mean, Minnesota, we're selling, we're not selling, we're selling, we're not selling. But the payroll comes down every year. Chicago's in a complete teardown. Kansas City's poverty. And then there's Cleveland. Cleveland, they make you look like Daddy Warbucks. So, yeah, I understand the idea that we could just win the division again. Okay, but if the goal is 27, 28, and beyond, what world are you better without Scooble if you don't trade him for the maximum return now?
I don't think they want to trade him. I think they want to sign him. I think they want to wait to see what happens after the labor stoppage, if it happens, and where the new market is going to be. So rather than paying him...
You know, it's going to be great when Boris picks up the phone and tells the Tigers, my client's only throwing 80 pitches a game. Have fun.
Look, man, I'm with you.
Okay? I hope you're ready for a summer of odd exits.
I'm not trying to sit here to anger you. I'm looking at this realistically. I think they want to sign him. I just don't think they want to pay for that 26th season because they don't know what it is. And then if all of a sudden there's, I don't know, let's not call it a cap. Let's call it whatever you want to call it. Maybe they don't have to pay as much if they wait.
Or you trade him. And you get a good young pitcher who's a frontline possible guy and a couple pieces, and we move forward.
In their world, is this good young pitcher going to be a back-to-back Cy Young?
No, in their world, is it going to fill the stadium? Why don't we just get to what it is? I mean, seriously, like, can we just say the quiet part out loud? They don't want the kickback. They don't want to have to explain why you traded Cy Young. You didn't want to pay him.
Okay.
I mean, ultimately, that's what it feels like to me. I don't know. I don't know the point of any of this because I view it, you're in a free division. I mean, you blew the division lead, but you're still in a division that is infinitely winnable with or without Scooble.
Correct. I'm with you.
It's so frustrating. All right, we'll get to the callers. I'm sorry. Anytime he leads something with hear me out, you know where it's headed, David. You know it.
I'm just trying
to. It's like when your parents say they're not angry at you, they're disappointed. It's so much worse.
I just need you to put on your thinking cap and look at this
in
their eyes.
I trade them. They're there.
I mean, look at it. You would. I would. But I don't think that they're going to do that.
I'd make them an offer five at 250. I'd let them reject it. I'd publicly leak it. And then I would trade them.
Yeah.
And then I would look at the fan base, like Tayshaun Prince, after committing a foul, and go, what do you want me to do?
See, you're a little more generous because I was like, I would do four at 160. Let's go.
How very Pirates of you. Okay, please.
What, $40 million a year?
Yeah, my point is I want to get him to sign. Let me get to the people, shall we? Jeff Passan report. I encourage you to read it. I can't read the whole thing to you. It'd be bad radio. But there are some takeaways, and I think we're just having a conversation. I don't have, like, all the answers. I've just been pretty forthright about it. Scoobal's a depreciating asset. If you're not going to sign him, stop the bleeding. If you're not serious about signing him, trade him, get a really good deal. But don't be unreasonable about it. From the article, sounds like you're pretty unreasonable. It also sounds like that means you don't want to deal him. Well, if you don't want to deal him, then you would sign him. One problem. Nothing. There's no movement on that front. So then you get into the murky. We're going to hang on to him. If the season goes well, you keep him. One problem. You almost blew a 15.5 game lead this year. How do you know what's going well anymore? 2 years ago was a Pixar movie. So then you end up in what? You missed the playoffs. You didn't sign him. You didn't trade him. And now it's nuclear winter with no baseball in 2027. And you think what? You're going to save a buck? Is that it? I don't know. I'm asking you guys. Let's go to Dawson, 97.1. Dawson, what's going on, buddy? How you been?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. What's on your mind?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously this whole situation's a lot to take in, but what's really starting to concern me is how we continuously hear how Scott Harris is, you know, a tough guy to negotiate and talk with, you know, whether it's a trade or, you know, a money negotiation. Mm-hmm. And how is that supposed to give anyone confidence that he is going to be able to negotiate the largest pitching contract in the sports history? And also, on top of that, Scoobal has the hardest agent to deal with in Scott Boras.
I think candidly, Dawson, like Boras, all he's doing right now is to get his client traded. I don't think Boras has 100%. I don't think Boras has any illusions the Tigers are going to pay him.
Yeah, and it concerns me because I don't think there's any logical, you know, expectation that Scoobal's going to sign any deal with Detroit before he hits free agency. I think 100%. I agree with you, Mike, that Boras is trying to get him out of Detroit, and whether he wants to say it or not, given, you know, the comics that he pulled last week when he was saying all that weird stuff.
Yeah.
I just think it's tough. And what also infuriates me is how this whole, 2027, 2028 window is what we're looking forward to. I'm sorry. You have the best pitcher in the sport. Conveniently so until, you know, that window begins in their eyes. And what's the point in keeping Scoobal if that's your window? If you're not going to go all in right now when you have the best player in the sport, you know, pitching wise, why would you wait till that window to do it when, you know, you have these prospects coming up? And I'm sorry, I like McGonigal and Clark and Lorenzo and all these guys just as much as anyone, and the projection's insane, but these guys better come up at this point and be Jacob Wilson and Ronald Acuna Jr.
Dawson, think about this.
Hit the ground running.
Flip the script, and I'm not looking for any sympathy, and I know you're not offering it, but how do you know they're not the next Anthony Volpe and Jason Dominguez?
100%.
You know what I'm 100%. Saying? I mean, I live it in real time. So it's just, you know, it's one of those things where and here's the worst part. Dawson, from that piece in the Det News, can you imagine, and Passan's hinting at it as well, McGonigal in late 26? That's unfathomable.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. They have to come up and immediately make the impact, and I'm sorry, this team's not going all in. And I'm terrified that when McGonigal does get here, you know, he's the number one guy right now, that he's not going to have any support around him. And what's the point of bringing him up and shoving him in to be the main guy? I mean, is that really what you want to throw at this kid?
Well, no,
hey, you're coming up and you're our guy.
Dawson, that scares me too, is this Gleyber Torres thing.
I was about
thing.
To say, you signed Gleyber for another year.
I didn't
I think that's why you're looking at McGonigal coming probably later on in the year.
Yeah, but then, then look Dawson in the eye and tell him that Dawson needs to care this year if that's the case. What the hell are we talking about? They waited over a decade to extend a qualifying offer. Gleyber Torres was the line you drew?
Dude, I'm with you. Look, I'm not blowing a kazoo.
Sound like it.
I'm
not.
You
do.
I'm just telling you this is what it is. You just don't like what you're hearing.
I don't have to. Dawson, okay. Do you like what you're hearing?
No. Absolutely not. And I think this offseason is absolutely critical to the whole tenure of Scott Harris in Detroit, and that's going to make or break, you know, whether people hate him or they like him, because he's got a lot on his shoulders, whether it's the prospect, you know, how you move them throughout the system, and obviously the Scooble thing, and then dealing with some of the trash cans that are on the roster right now. And it's like, I'm sorry, you're not going to ever compete with a team like the Dodgers. And if you legitimately think that having guys in your everyday lineup and Colt Keith, Zach McKinstry, Parker Meadows, like, what are we even doing? Why is Scooble even in the area code of Detroit at this point? It's like, you might as well trade him, get what you can right now, and help your baseball team. I don't know why you think he wants to be here. Well, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. He probably does want to be here. But I don't know why you think that, you know, his agent wants him to be here and that you think a deal can legitimately get done. Like, it's not happening. And I just want the best for this team, and I know we all do.
Yeah, we're all on the same page. We just want to win.
Yeah, to anyone that believes you're going to keep them and go all in this year and win something, it's not happening.
Well, Dawson, here's the key.
Bregman and
there you go. See, I've always said this. Rico is not wrong in his idea of I want to keep him and go all in. It's the all in page of it. Think about this. Does anyone have any faith they're going to go out and sign two big time right handed bats on top of the $22 million they just committed to Gleyber Torres? Because I don't. Not in this lifetime or the next. They still need a big bullpen arm. They still need pitching depth. I have no faith they're going to go. And now, could you make a bold trade? Look, I was talking to you off the air about this. They're reaching a point with the 40-man roster. Like, they have to start making room. You have to trade some people, including some prospects, because you simply don't have room for everybody. Especially, you got two catchers with duality.
Right.
If we believe Dylan Dingler's the future of the team, you can't keep both Briseno and Lorenzo.
He looks like he's the future of the team. So, yeah, at that point, you start shopping some of these people around instead of holding on to them like they're collector's items.
Let's go to Matt, 97.1. Matty, what's going on, buddy?
I'm mad, to be honest with you. I don't get what this team is doing. There's no direction. And I think you're exactly right. They're just too scared of the fan base to even execute the plan. And they're speaking out of both sides of their mouth. Listen, Mike, I got a prediction for this team and how all they're right. going to sell it.
Okay.
Torres for $22 million on the roster. Sign another one-year mid-tier contract bat, maybe a bullpen arm. But then the icing on the cake for the Daiquiri crowd, Verlander's coming back to pitch.
You know what? No, hold on. Matt?
That's diabolic.
Matt? You know what, buddy?
Ring the bell for Matt. I like that.
You know what? I could actually see that happening because Scooble's gone, but we got you something even better. JV back.
Night at the park. We'll get a few sellouts.
JV bobbleheads.
I will say this, just to be fair. Once he got traded, he did start pitching better. But I know what Matt's saying. Mm-hmm. They'll have a special edition Verlander jersey that night available for purchase.
Matt, yeah, exactly. The bobblehead, yeah.
Matt might be onto something there.
Matt, I like how you're thinking.
Like, McGonagall isn't going to be here. You're going to manipulate his service time like the small market team that this team acts like. Scooble isn't signed, and no impact player is even going to be here. Like, if this team wants to wait until 27, like, I'm going to be ticked off, but fine. But then act like it.
Yes.
But if you want to go for it and win, then do that. They're stuck in this middle because I think they're scared of the fan base.
Well, and part of it, too, is it gets murky. You don't have an experienced team president GM, and you also don't have an owner that's going to push a direction and go, look, I want to go all into a World Series. That's just that's not good or bad. It's just reality. You know, in other places, like when you have a Dave Dombrowski and you're in Philly, you know the direction. You're in the left lane of the highway or you've driven into the woods.
Right.
That's it. So I look.
That's JV. That's diabolical right there.
Oh, you can already, you can already hear this. You can already hear him warming up the kazoo. All right, every Thursday, your chance on FanDuel. It's Thursday Touchdown Jackpot. You can win a share of $2 million in bonus bets each week to get in on it. All you got to do is place an anytime touchdown score before the game kicks off. And if your player scores first or last, You're in on the bonus bets. Rico, who the hell's scoring tonight? What do you got for me? Give me a first touchdown score.
Josh Allen.
Khalil Shakir. To hell with you. I'm kidding. I'm just projecting.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.